All right, we're starting here at the top of Mem Vav Amud Aleph, the second line down. So we have now a statement. Amar Rav Elazar Mishum Bar Kapara. So we have a statement from Rav Elazar, name Bar Kapara. Omer Haya Rabbi Meir. We had Rabbi Meir saying, Evrei Olah Shinito Tru, the limbs of an Olah that were left over, Oselahen Maracha Bifnei Atzma, it makes its own pyre the next day. Visodran, and he puts it on top of them. Vafilu b'Shabbat, and even on Shabbat. Yesterday, you remember, we had a three-way machloket between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Meir as to the number of marachot that were on a daily basis on the Mizbeach. Everybody agreed that there was a maracha gedola and a maracha shniya shel ketoret. That everybody agreed to. That was the base level. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Yossi, on top of that, adds on a maracha for kiyum ha'esh. And then Rabbi Meir, on top of them, added a fourth maracha, which was for the leftover evarim ibdarim of the olah. If they left over, they still were not nitaklu, consumed by the morning. They had a separate pyre in the next morning where they were finished up on that pyre. So this is that Rabbi Meir. We have a statement here from Rabbi Elazar Mishum Bar Kapara about Rabbi Meir's opinion. The first part of his statement is, Evrei Olah Shinuto Tru Oselahan Maracha Bifnei Atzma V'Sodran. That's the first part of his statement. That these leftover limbs, if they're not consumed, we make another pyre in the morning and we put them on there. That's number one. Number two is, Vafilu B'Shabbat. That's true, even on Shabbat. The problem with this statement of Rabbi Elazar Bar Kapara is that we know this all from Rabbi Meir. He has told us no new information that we didn't know about Rabbi Meir beforehand. And that's what the Gemara is about to probe, is what's the Chiddush. So first of all, the first piece of information we know because he already told us that there is a fourth maracha. Now, Fred asked, what about a filu b'Shabbat? Well, remember where their machloket is. Their machloket was with regards to Yom HaKippurim, which meant that on Yom Kippur there was an extra maracha. But that means that Rabbi Meir believed that even on Yom Kippur, there was a base for Marachot. Yom Kippur and Shabbat have the same Kedusha. If that's the case, then we know the information of Afilu B'Shabbat already. So we know all of this information. There is some question here as to the Girsa. Rashi notes already, Lo Garsinan Olat Chol, which is a possible Girsa over here. If you look in the Tosfot Yishanim, he says the Girsa is Olat Chol. And Tosafot in Menachot also says that it's Olat Chol was the original Girsa, and they defend that Girsa. Problem with saying Olat Chol makes it sound like this whole statement is one statement, which is, Evrei Olat Chol, Shinyotro Tru, you make an extra Marcha even on Shabbat. Makes it into one statement, even though the Gemara now is about to break it up into two statements. Tosafot Yishanim says, because there's a Vav there, V'afilu B'Shabbat, so the Gemara knows that it's two statements. Rashi eliminated that Girsa of Chol. According to the Bach, the original Girsa was Olat Shabbat. And that's what Rashi took out. It'd be obvious why Rashi took it out if it was Olat Shabbat, because it makes no sense anymore. How can you say Olat Shabbat that's left over, Afilu B'Shabbat? So it makes no sense, and therefore he took out the Girsa. So there is some question as to what the original Girsa was. So now the Gemara is going to probe this question as to what Chiddush did we just learn? Maika Mashalon, what does this statement teach us that we didn't know already? Tanina. We already had this written explicitly in the Braita before, which is B'chol Yom Hayusham Arba Marachot. That Rabbi Meir says every day there were four Marachot. First Maracha is Maracha Gdola. Second is Maracha Shniya Shel Ketoret. The third one is the Maracha of Kiyum Ha'esh. The fourth one is the Maracha for the leftover Evrahim Tarim. So we know that already. What are you telling me, Rabbi Elazar, that we didn't know beforehand? So Amar Rabbi Avin lo nitzrucha elo lepsulim. We didn't need this because of the psulim. So it's one thing to make a pyre for things that were ksherim, that were placed on the mizbeach overnight. For instance, evarim darim from the previous day, korbanot. So overnight, they're burnt on the pyre. The evarim adim are burnt, so that I understand. But sometimes, something pasul gets onto the mizbeach. We have a principle that imalu lo yirdu. If they get on the Mizbeach, we don't take them off. So what happens if that object or that item that got onto the Mizbeach, it was Pasul, but it stays on because of the principle. Once it's there, it's there. Do we then make an additional pyre the next day if that didn't get completely consumed? We only left it on the Mizbeach because it got there. To now make another pyre the next day, should we do that? So that's what Rabbi Avin comes to say. That's what Amar Rav Elazar Mishum Bar Kapara is telling us. Even when you have Pasul items that got onto the Mizbeach, and they only stayed on because of that principle of Imalu lo yirdu. So therefore, they stay on, and we make another pyre the next day to finish them up. V'davka shemashlan behen haor. That's only if the fire took to them. V'lo mashlan maor lo. But if the fire never took to them, then no. If the fire never caught them, then we don't consider them to be, right, we don't consider them to be achilat ha-mizbeach or ochel ha-mizbeach. They're not considered to be food of the mizbeach. Once they're considered to be the food of the mizbeach, then they take on the status like a kasher. So once meshlab ena'ur, then we say, okay, yes, you weren't supposed to get on here, but now you are. And you've now become a part of all the other items that are on the mizbeach because the fire caught to it. And now, once you've been granted status of being on the mizbeach, you get full rights on the mizbeach. You now will have another pyre the next day if you're not consumed. So that's the chiddush of Rav Elazar Mishum Bar Kappara. It's as if he said, Evrei Ola, that we're psulim, shinito tru, then we make another pyre the next day. So that is a chiddush. That we wouldn't have known for Rabbi Meir's position. That's the chiddush. Ikadamre, echad kishirim v'echad psulim, imashlam b'ena or in v'lo lo. So that's the other possibility of the chiddush here, is that the din of Rabbi Meir only applies to items where the fire has caught to them. That is irrespective of whether it's a pasul or kasher. We only make another pyre the next day for items that are left over if they are already taken by the fire of the mizbeach on the previous day. That's whether they're kasher or pasul. That's a chiddush on both sides. It's a chiddush on the kasher side that even though something is kasher and the fire didn't catch it, we still don't put it onto the mizbeach the next day. We don't make a pyre for it. And the second chiddush is that psulim get to go onto the pyre the next day. So that's the second possibility of what the chiddush is. So that was the first half of the statement of Rama Rabbi Lazar. Now the second statement is, Tafilu b'Shabbat. Even on Shabbat, the Gemara says, Tanina. We already have that in the Braita. It says, Vayom Chamesh. Every day you did 4 marachot. On Yom HaKippurim you did 5 marachot. Well, if you thought there was no extra maracha on Shabbat, then you would only have 4 on Yom Kippur itself as well. Because you drop this extra maracha, you would add on 1 for the Torah of Yom Kippur, but you would drop the one that was not done on Shabbat or not done on Yom Kippur. The fact that you still have 5 on Yom Kippur indicates a filu b'Shabbat. So Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Itzrich, we need it. Sal kedat chamina hani milehechid dechal Yom HaKippurim liot achara Shabbat. I would think when do you have 5 pyres? That's when Yom Kippur falls out on a Sunday. Because if it falls out on a Sunday, what are the leftover korbanot that are on Yom Kippur? Those are korbanot from Shabbat. Techel ve'Shabbat, grevim b'yom ha-kippurim. Since Shabbat is on an equal or even higher level of kedusha than Yom HaKippurim, we don't have a problem of putting on the leftover limbs from Shabbat on the pyres on Yom HaKippurim, because they have equal status. Aval b'emsa Shabbat, if it's in the middle of the week, lo, maybe not. Because in the middle of the week, we would say the day before was Chol. Now you're trying to put on the Evarim of Chol onto a Mizbeach on Yom HaKippurim. We're not going to let that. Mashmalon, that we don't say that. You would add a half a minute. If I just gave you the Braita that says 4 every day, 5 on Yom Kippur, then I would have thought every day 4, Yom Kippur 5 when it falls out on a Sunday. Because then it's after Shabbat, and then it's not such a big deal, not a big Chiddush. Along comes Rabbi Elazar to tell you that Rabbi Meir's din applies every day. Even if Yom Kippur is in the middle of the week, the din still applies. That means Afilu b'Shabbat, even after a weekday, you still put on those Evarim with an extra pyre on the day of Shabbat or on the day of Yom HaKippurim. Because you would have thought, maybe not. These are Evarim that are not Dochet HaShabbat. These are an Evarim that are Dochet Yom Kippur because they are Evrei Chol. Nevertheless, since the din is that they're granted permission to be on the Mizbeach that night, so in the morning too, they get their extra pyre if they were not consumed. Rava says to him, Amar Rava, man haid lo chayish lekimche. Who is this individual that doesn't worry about his flour, his livelihood, meaning that he doesn't check his sources? Because, ha, b'chol yom t'nan. In the Braita that we quoted before about Rabbi Meir, on every day. B'chol yom means every day. You're all of a sudden trying to narrow the scope of what was said in that Braita. That's not what the Braita said. The Braita says, every day there were 4. On Yom Kippur, there were 5. Every day means every day, not just when Yom Kippur falls out on a Sunday. So he says, I don't know why you would ever come up with a Havamina like that. So the Gemara says, Kasha, that is a problem. Uplige de Rav Huna. And this argues on Rav Huna. Damar, tilato doche, sufo enu doche. So this statement of Bar Kappara, and this statement of Rava, that says that things happen, according to Bar Kappara, even on Shabbat, Vafilu b'Shabbat. And Rava's statement here, that it's obvious that B'chol Yom means every day, and that means that the Ivarim of Chol are Dochet HaShabbat and are Dochet Yom HaKippurim. That argues on Rav Huna, because Rav Huna says, Tehilatau doche, sofo eno doche. Its beginning is doche, but its sofo eno doche. Which is that tamid shal Shabbat, that is nishchat on Shabbat, and karev on Shabbat, that is doche to Shabbat. Sofo means the end of the korban olah. That means that the leftovers from Friday are not doche Shabbat. The evarim that are left over from the tamid shal ben arbaim, according to Rav Huna, they need to be on the Mizbeach prior to Shabbat. You have to get them on the Mizbeach before Shabbat. They are not Tochet to Shabbat, and obviously they would not be Tochet Yom HaKippurim. So the way that Bar Kappara explains Rabbi Meir, and the way that Rava says it's obvious, that's what he means. So both of those clearly argue on Rav Huna, who says there is no Tochet to Shabbat by the Evarim Darim of a Chol of a Korban that was brought prior to Shabbat. Just a quick thought here, the Aruch HaShulchan, based on this, defends the very difficult practice of people davening Tarte de Satre on Friday afternoon. Friday afternoon, there are many places that seem to ignore what are very basic halachic parameters as to when you can daven Mincha and when you can daven Maariv. Of Machloket and the Gemara and Brachot, Chachamim believe that you can daven Mincha until Shkia, until the sun sets, and then you can daven Maariv after Shkia. According to the Gra, according to others, it's Seita Kochavim, it's the Rabbeinu Tam, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, Paskin that way. We generally hold like the Gra, that Shkia is the cutoff. But whatever it is, it's around sunset, Seita Kochavim, you daven Mincha before, you daven Maariv afterwards. That's the position of the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda's position is Plaga Mincha is that threshold. So you can daven Mincha until Plaga Mincha, you can daven Maariv after Plaga Mincha. So there the Gemara says, since the Loch is not Paskined, like either one of them, then you can go like either opinion. Now what the Gemara means is subject to Machloket Rishonim, which we discussed in the Gemara over there, whether that means you can change every day, that means that you can change in necessity, or means that you have to pick one opinion and stay with it for your whole life. That was a Machloket Rishonim. But generally, we at least subscribe to one of those two opinions. In order to daven Mincha before that threshold and after the threshold, you have to pick one of them. There became a practice, especially in America and in Chutz La'aretz, that people davened on Friday going into Shabbat at 7 o'clock. Well, 7 o'clock is after Plaga Mincha, but before Shkia. So you end up davening Mincha and Maariv over neither of those thresholds. You're davening them what's called Tarte de Satre. Tarte de Satre is that they are two things that contradict each other. You're basically taking Mincha to daven like the Chachamim, because you're davening after Plaga Mincha, and you're davening Maariv like Rabbi Yehuda. So they are incongruous. They're a contradiction. That you, how do you daven in such a manner? It's a very precarious practice. Thank God, a lot of places have tried to rectify it, and Eretz Yisrael, they're definitely very makbid on this, that they daven when they make early Shabbat, they daven around Plaga Mincha. So they daven before and after Plaga Mincha, in order to not have that problem. The question is, but where did this practice arise from? So the Aruch HaShulchan tries to defend the practice based on this statement of Rav Huna here. Because we know that Tefillat Shacharit is keneged tamid shel shachar. Mincha is keneged tamid shel ben harabayim. Ma'ariv, the Gemara says, is keneged evarim ve'pedarim. It's keneged the limbs and the sinews that are put on the mizbeach overnight. That is ma'ariv. Right. If the dam was nizrak on the day before, the evarim and are allowed to be put on all night from those items. So those evarim and that's where we have a ma'ariv, keneged evarim and so what the Aruch HaShulchan points out, here you can see it in the position of Rav Huna, is when you have a korban, like tamid ben abayim or korbanot of Erev Shabbat, what's the din regarding their Evarim Darim? Their Evarim Darim are not put on Friday night because they're not Doche to Shabbat. So when are those Evarim Darim put on? They must be put on prior to the Shabbat. So what the Aruch HaShulchan points out is that if the Tefillat Arvit is connected Evarim Darim, then really on Erev Shabbat you should daven Maariv before Shkia. You should daven it right after Mincha because the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim is done in the afternoon. And then right afterwards, they had to put all the Evarim Darim on, not on Friday night. They had to do it right then on Friday afternoon, right after Mincha. And so, based on that, if Ma'ariv is connected Evarim Darim, you should have a Ma'ariv early based on that. That's Aruch HaShulchan's defense of such a practice, of why people daven Tarte de Satre. It suggests it as an explanation for this practice. In defense of that practice, that's what he says. And that's based on this opinion here that we just saw in Rav Huna, that Evarim Darim for Erev Shabbat are not Duchet to Shabbat, and they have to get on before Shabbat.
Regular Shabbat, then also Shabbat.
You don't have to. You could.
You could.
Right, that's how we know, that's what Gemara says, that how do we know that Mitzvah B'Shaita is great? Because technically you could put all the Evarim and the Parim of Shabbat on after Shabbat, and not be Duchet Shabbat. Yet we allow you to put them on Shabbat, and be Duchet to Shabbat. It's not necessary, but we still allow you to do it. From there the Gemara says, look at that. the mitzvah b'shaita is worth something because we're willing to allow you to put an Evarim Darim in Docha Shabbat, even though you could do it after Shabbat. Alright, Gufa, now we want to discuss this. Amar Ravuna, Tamid, Chilato Doche, Sofo Eno Doche. Comes the Tamid, the beginning of the process of the Tamid is Doche to Shabbat, meaning the Korbanot of Shabbat are Doche Shabbat. Sofo, those that are the residuals from Friday, are not Doche Shabbat. My Eno Doche. What does that mean? So Rav Chista Amar, Doche to Shabbat, Ve'eno Doche to Tumah. What he meant was that, when we say Doche, Doche means that it overrides Shabbat. Eno Doche means it's not Doche Eta Tumah. The Rabba Amar Doche Et Tumah Veino Doche Et Shabbat. It is Doche Et Tumah, but it's not Doche Et Shabbat. Rav Huna just makes a statement. It says Tamid in the beginning is Doche, in the end it's not Doche. So the question is, what is the Doche? When we're talking about Doche here, it overrides something. You could override two things. We know that with regards to Korbanot. One thing is you can override Tumah. The other thing is that you can override Shabbat. So that's the question, the machloket here between Rav Chista and Rabba, as to what we're discussing over here. Chista says, when we say, Tamid Tichlato Dochet, that means, so first Shabbat, according to Rav Chista, Tichlato B'Sofo is Dochet. With regards to Tumah, there, only Tichlato is Dochet Tumah, Sofo is not Dochet Tumah. That's the way Rav Chista reads it. Rabbi reads it, that Dochet Tumah, that Tichlato and Sofo is Dochet Tumah, whereas by Shabbat, Tchilato is Dochet Shabbat, Sofo is Eno Dochet Shabbat. Amrle Abaye, the Rabbah. So Abaye, Talmud of Rabbah, says back to Rabbah, the Didach Kasha or the Rav Chista Kasha. Your position is problematic, and so is Rav Chista's position problematic. The Didach Kasha, for your position is problematic, Maishna Tumah. Why is Tumah different than Shabbat? By Tumah, what is the reason that the Kurban Tamid is Dochet Tumah? Because it says, Bim Moado, in its time. So the reason that we say that it's Doche Tumah is because the word Moado says you do it on time, no matter what. What is no matter what? Even if you're Tameh, you do it. Well, the same limud applies Shabbat Nami B'Moado V'Afilu B'Shabbat. The same limud applies to Shabbat. If you say Moado is an overarching theme which says do it on time no matter what. No matter what means do it on time no matter whether there's Tumah. Do it on time, no matter if it's Shabbat. You do it. That's it. We don't consider these other variables. Based on this, when you read into Rav Huna's position, you have an inconsistency in your position. It could be. Tumah here could be the Tumah of the Kohen. Let's assume that it's Tumah of the Kohen, that the Kohanim are Tameh and they have to do the Korbanot. Could be that the Korban itself became Tameh as well. There's also a possibility. We had a machloket earlier whether when the Kohen is Tameh, does that mean that all the Kohanim in that Beit Av are Tameh? Or we have to go look outside of this Beit Av? When we say the Kohanim are Tameh, how far do you have to look? If everybody in the Beit Av is Tameh, is that it? Then fine, we just do a bitumah. Or do we say, even if they're all Tameh in the Beit Av, look for the Mishmar. There's a whole bunch of other Kohanim around, you have to get them. How far we have to go to find a Tahor Kohen was subject to a Machloket Amoraim that we saw before. But yes, it could be either one that is Tameh that's causing us a problem over here. The little problem with Tumata Korban is that they're the Tzitzis Meratzeh. Then you don't have to invoke Moado. So that's why more likely the Tumah that we're speaking about over here is Tumat HaKohen and not the Tumat Kodoshim. Because we learned before that the Tzitz is Meratzeh on Tumah, that's on Tumat HaKodoshim. So that the Tzitz takes care of. Here we're talking about Moado is overriding of Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, the Chuya B'tzibur. We're most likely talking about the Tumat Gavra, the Tumah of the Kohen himself. Rova says that Rav Huna's position is that by Tumah, it's always Doche. By Shabbat, the beginning part of it is Doche, the end part is not Doche. Abaye is Tamid, says back to him, you're inconsistent. If both of them are learnt out of Boado, why do you have a difference in opinion between Tumah and Shabbat? If Tumah is Doche all the time, then Shabbat should be Doche all the time. Ul Rav Chista Kasha, for Rav Chista it's the same question in reverse. Maishna Shabbat, he says, Rav Huna says by Shabbat it's always Doche. Dichtei b'Moado, that's because he learns it out of Moado. Afilu b'Shabbat, no matter when, even on Shabbat. Tumah. So by Tumah, why does he say, Rav Huna says in the beginning, it's Doche, but in the end, it's not Doche. So Nami b'Moado, afilu b'Tumah. You have the same limud over there, which is Moado, afilu b'Tumah. So he says, both of your positions seem to be problematic. Basically, what Abai is suggesting is that if you say in Rav Huna that Tchilato is Doche and Sofo is Eno Doche, then Shabbat and Tumah should be consistent. That means that Tchilato Doche is both by Shabbat and Tumah. So for Eno Doche should be both by Shabbat and Tumah. There should be no differentiation between Shabbat and Tumah because they're both learned from the same word in the Pasuk, B'Moado, which teaches you no matter what, we override it. So Amrlei, so Rabbah replies to Abaye and says, Lo the Didi Kasha, Lo the Rav Chista Kasha. It's not a question of me, it's not a question of Rav Chista. Lo the Didi Lo Kasha, For me, it's not a question. Sofo kitzchilato. When it comes to the sofo, it is similar to its beginning. Tuma, when it comes to tuma, detzchilato bar midcha. Tuma hu, so sofo nami dachi. So in the beginning, it's doche tuma because of moado. So just like in the beginning, it's doche the tuma if the kohen is tameh, you don't have to get a kohen tahor to do the zrika d'adam. So therefore, sofo nami dachi. Therefore, in the end, it's also doche. It's a tumah, meaning they're putting the evarim, bitarim, and doing all the other residual work of the korban, not just the zrikat adam. All of that can be done via tumah. Shabbat, detchilato lav bar midcha shabbatu. Here, this item is not docheta Shabbat in its beginning, because it's a korban of Erev Shabbat. The korban, tamicho ben arbaim of Erev Shabbat, is not docheta et a Shabbat, both because it's not the Shabbat korban, and for a technical problem, which is, you can't be Zareik the Dam after Shkia on Friday afternoon. Then it's no longer the Tamid Shal Ben Arbayim. You have to do the Zareik the Dam prior to Shabbat. By definition, this Korban is not Dochet HaShabbat Bit Chilato. So he says, Sofo Nami Lo Dochi, and therefore, the end game is the same. So that basically his point is that we're consistent. That whatever the din is for the beginning of the Korban is the same din that you apply to the end of the Korban. By Tuma, the beginning of the Korban, Zareik the Dam can be done even Bit Tuma. Since it can be done even bituma, so too sofo can be done even bituma. Over here, tchilato of the korban of Erev Shabbat is not doche Shabbat. Therefore, sofo is not doche Shabbat. As opposed to the korban ha-Shabbat itself, there tchilato is doche to Shabbat, because you're allowed to do the tamid of Shabbat on Shabbat. And since it's doche to Shabbat tchilato, sofo is also doche to Shabbat, which is what we discussed before. The varim darim can be put on of the Shabbat korban on Shabbat itself. So that's how Rova explains his position. And therefore, you'll come up with this position, which is, when it comes to Tuma, if the Zrikat Adam was done bituma, you can finish off the whole process bituma. You can even do the Evarim Terim bituma. Whereas the Friday Korban that's put on, the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim of Friday of Erev Shabbat, that Korban is not Dochet Shabbat in its beginning because it's done in Erev Shabbat. Therefore, Evarim Terim cannot be put on the Mizbeach on Friday night because it's not Dochet Shabbat. That's Ravuna's din. That Sofo ain't no Dochet Shabbat. So that's Rabba's opinion. Now, the Rav Chisda lo kasha. Rav Chisda is also not a question. Sofo kitachilato lately. He doesn't have this din that I just explicated, which is the end is always equal to the beginning. But rather, his din is like this. Shabbat dohutrahi bitzibor sofo nami dachi. He says, the overriding of Shabbat gorbei korbanot is hutra. There is no reservations. We don't hold back. We don't do anything different. When we do the korbanot on Shabbat, we do it full-fledged. It's as if it was a weekday. I mean, there are certain things with the fling of the korban, because that's not for the korban itself. That's for the benefit of the kohanim. Afterwards, with the skins, so there we might make some shinoi. But with the korban itself, or anything to do with the avoda, no shinoi on Shabbat. We do it just like a weekday. Hutra the gamre the gabe Shabbat. Therefore, since it's hutra, sofu nami dachi. Therefore, the beginning is Doche Shabbat, and the end is Doche Shabbat, because Shabbat basically doesn't exist with regards to Korbanot. That's the way he views it. On the other hand, Tuma, Duduchuyahi Bitzibor. Tuma, we have a machlok, we've seen this before, whether Tuma is Hutra Bitzibor or Duchuya Bitzibor. When we permit you to do things with Tuma, once we allow you to do Tuma, does that mean Hutra? We don't care anymore. Do everything with Tuma. We don't even consider this to be a problem. Or do we say it's dechuya ibitzibor? Whatever you can do betara, try to do betara. Whatever you can't, then we have dispensation to do a bituma. So he says that Rav Chisda believes tuma is dechuya ibitzibor. Therefore, chilato the ikar kapara, the beginning of the processing of the korban, which is the ikar kapara, that's the zrika d'adam. The dam is mechaper. That goes on the mizbeach. That is dochi. That overrides tuma. So for the putting of the evarim b'darim on the mizbeach is not me'akev the korban. So it's not Me'akev the Korban, the Lav Ikar Kapara, it's not the major part or the central part of the Kapara, therefore it's Lo Dachiyata Tuma. So what Rav Chisda will say is, when it comes to Shabbat, you can do the Korbanot of Shabbat, the Tamid of Shabbat, you can do it on Shabbat. The Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim of Erev Shabbat from Friday, you can put it Tzevarim and Tzevarim on the Mizbech on Shabbat as well. Because vis-a-vis the Korbanot that are permitted on Shabbat, Shabbat doesn't exist. So Evarim Darim that are normally put on at night. So for them, Shabbat doesn't exist. You can put them on like any other day of the week that you would have done it. Because it's Hutra the Gamre by Shabbat. I mean, Tchilato is Hutra and so is Sofo Hutra. Tchilato means the Korban, Tamid of Shabbat is Doche, override Shabbat, it's Hutra b'Shabbat. So too, the leftover Evarim Darim of the Erev Shabbat Korban is also overrides Shabbat. As if it's a weekday, we don't even consider Shabbat in that case. Tuma, on the other hand, Tumah, when you have a dispensation to do things with Tumah, that's Tchilato. That's to get the Qurban onto the Mizbeach and to do the Kaparat Adam. That's to make sure that the Qurban's done. But the residuals of the Qurban, that doesn't override Tumah. Over there, we're not going to let you say willy-nilly, just do it with Tumah. There, we're going to say, either do it with Tara or don't do it. Because it's not an akev to Qurban. It doesn't stop the Kaparah. And this is Tumah dechuya hibitzibor. We don't say Tumah doesn't exist with regards to the Qurbanot. We say there's a dispensation. Dispensation is limited to what's necessary. What's necessary is to get the dam on the Mizbeach. The Evarim and Terim are not me'akev. So since they're not me'akev, we're not going to allow it just to run over Tumah. Should just be aware that our explanation here of the Gemara is according to Rashi, and Rashi's first interpretation of the Gemara. Rashi brings an alternative explanation of the Gemara over here, which he rejects, which is that when we say here, Tchilato, Tchilato means Hekter Chalavim, that is, the placing of the fats on the Mizbeach, the Emurim on the Mizbeach, and Sofo means the Evarim Ubdarim, Shinil Tro Tru. Rashi says, Verishon Nirat Li'ikar, he rejects the second one. Tosafot explains why he thinks Rashi rejected this interpretation, because the Gemara says, with regards to the Akhtara of the Chalavim by the explanation of Rav Chista, that he says that that's the Ikar Kapara, Havi. It's the Kapara. But Kapara really only applies to Zvikat Hadam and not the Hekter Chalavim. Because of that, it seems that Rashi rejected that interpretation. Tosafot defends the interpretation and says that sometimes the Hekter Chalavim is called a Kapara, despite the fact that the Dam is the major Kapara, it still plays a part in the Kapara, and the Gemara sometimes terms that as Kapara. Tosafot, on the other hand, favors the second interpretation because of the problem in the first interpretation. It turns out that the way Rashi is explaining the Gemara, Rabbo and Rav Chista are not consistent in their explanation of Tchilah and Sof. Because according to Rav Chista, what is permitted bitumah is the Zrikat Hadam and the shchita of the animal, that's permitted bitumah for the tchilah. What's not permitted is hekter chalavim. Putting the fats, the remainder of the processing of the korban is not permitted. That's why sofo is not dochet to tumah. Whereas for rabo, tchilato means the zrika and the shchita and the hekter chalavim. That's talking about the korban shabbat. Korban shabbat is allowed, all these items are allowed to be done. Not only that, even the evarim b'darim can go on the mizbeach for the olat shabbat. And when he says sofo eno dochet haShabbat, he's talking about the leftover evarim darim from the previous day's ola, from Friday's ola. And therefore for him, sofo means the leftover evarim darim. And for Rav Chista, sofo means the hekter chalavim, putting the fats on his back. Because they have an inconsistency in their explanation of Tiglato and sofo, therefore Tosafot favors that second interpretation of Rashi, which is Tchilato is Hekter Chalavim, and Sofo is Evarim Ubdarim. And therefore, Rav Chista and Rabbah will now be consistent, because when Rav Chista says Tchilato is Dochet HaTumah, that's talking about the Hekter Chalavim. When he says Sofo is not Dochet HaTumah, it's talking about the Evarim Ubdarim. And the same will be true for Rabbah. When he says Tchilato is Dochet HaShabbat, that's the Qurban Shabbat. The Qurban Shabbat, the Shchita, the Zrika, the Hekter Chalavim are all Dochet Shabbat. When he says Sofo, he's talking about the Evarim Ubdarim, that are not Doche Shabbat, from the leftover parts of the Olot from Erev Shabbat. So because of that, Tosafot favors that second explanation in Rashi. Alright, Itvar. Hamechabeh Eish Machta Uminora. We learned yesterday that you have to take the fire for the pan and the fire for the menorah from the Mizbeacha Chitzon. The Gemara said yesterday that, number one, we have to take the fire for the Torah daily. For the Mizbeach HaZav, you take that from the Mizbeacha Chitzon. And then we ask, what about the Eish HaMachta Yom HaKippurim, the fire, the coals for Yom HaKippurim to bring the Torah Lifnai V'Lifnim? And then we also ask about the Eish HaMenorah, to light the menorah, where do you get the fire from? Yesterday the Gemara concluded, we learned all of that out from the Psukim here, that it comes from the Mizbeach HaChitzon, because the Pasuk says, Eish Tamid Tukad Al Mizbeach Lo Techbet. That's the final Tukad of the Parshia in the beginning of Tzav, about all the pyres. There it says, Eish Tamid Tukad Al Mizbeach Lo Techbet. We learned from there that we get the fire from the Mizbeach HaChitzon. That's at least with regards to Menorah. With regards to Yom HaKippurim, we learned it out from Lakach Melo HaMachta Gach Le'esh Me'al Mizbeach Milifnei Hashem. It has to come from the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So for both of them, we learned that the fire is sourced, or the coals are sourced, from the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So now we have a Machloket Amoraim here with regards to HaMechabeh Eish Machta Eminorah. If you took the fire from the Mizbeach, and then you extinguished it, are you Chayav? Abayi says you are Chayav, Rav Amar Patur. Rav says you're Patur. Now, the reason that the Gemara is asking this is because the source for taking the fire from Mizbeach Ritzon, the Pasuk says, Eish tamid tugar mizbeach, lo techbeh. Do not extinguish it. So that lo techbeh, is that an Easter lav here to extinguish the fire once it's taken off the Mizbeach? We're going to see in a circuit. That's the machloket here between Abaye and Rava. The kavya berosho shom Mizbeach, if he extinguishes it on the top of the Mizbeach, dukul yama lo plige de chayav. Everybody gives your chayav because that's still classified as Eish HaMizbeach. So if it's still there, even though you put it into the pan, but you're still by the top of the Mizbeach, there everybody agrees that it's still called Eish HaMizbeach and your chayav. The plige, where do they argue? The achte ara, that you took it down to the ground below, and then mekavyo, and then you extinguished it. Abayim ar chayav, Abayim says your chayav Eish HaMizbeach hu. That's still classified as the Eish HaMizbeach, so therefore it's under the rubric of lo techbeh. Rav Amar Patur. Rav says, you're not chayav. Came to Natka, Natko. Since you've already taken it off the Mizbeach, it's no longer Eish HaMizbeach, and you're not governed by Lo Techbeh. So now, El Hadama Rav Nachman Abar Ravua. So that statement, Hamarid Gachelit Malgami Mizbeach Kiba, took a coal off the Mizbeach, and then you extinguished it down below, chayav. He says, you're chayav. Kiman. Who's that like? Kabaye. That must be like Abaye, because Abaye is the only one who says, when you take it down to the ground, it's still classified as Eish Mizbeach. So therefore, Rav Nachman's statement is only true according to Abaye. It says, afilu teimach Rava. You can even fit into Rava's position. Hatam lo inkat the mitzvata. When you take the coal off the Mizbeach in Rav Nachman's case, you took it off willy-nilly. There was no reason to take the coal off the Mizbeach. So if you take it off, it still retains the shame Eish HaMizbeach. If that's the case, you're in violation of lo techbeh. Hocha, in our case, we were taking it to light the menorah. You're putting in the machta for the ketoret, then intikata the mitzvata. You've now changed the status of that fire. It's no longer Eish HaMizbeach. It's now Eish for the ketoret. It's Eish for the menorah. You've changed its name. Once you've changed its name, then there's no Easter of lo techbeh. Tosafot over here asks a very good question. He says, the Gemara before said to us, when it comes to the taking of the coals for the ketoret each day, they used to first take it out in a pan of 4 kabim. And then they used to dump it into a pan of 3 kabim, and then a kav worth of coals would fall onto the floor. And then they would sweep those coals into the amatamayim. You're extinguishing the coals then. According to Abaye, that should have been a problem of lo techbeh. So he brings a number of answers. First is from the Rabbeinu Simcha, who has posed the question, and he says the amatamayim really wasn't a water channel, but it was just a place in the Mikdash, and therefore he didn't extinguish them, he just pushed them in. He brings an additional answer, which is that they didn't sweep them into the Amatamayim until they extinguished themselves. They left them there until they extinguished, and then only afterwards did he sweep them into the Amah. But the major answer that he gives is that these coals are not problematic because he never intends to use them. Because when he takes out the 4 kav of coals, he knows he's going to pour it into a pan that has 3 kav of coals, and the kav's going to fall over. So that kav that he takes off, he never plans on putting those kav back onto the Mizbeach. Not intending to take them back onto the Mizbeach, and therefore came into Intak, since they've already been removed from the Mizbeach, they no longer have a din of Eish Mizbeach. As opposed to the din of Rav Nachman, where you take a coal off the Mizbeach, there you're obligated to put the coal back on the Mizbeach. Because of that, it still has a status of Eish Mizbeach, and if you extinguish it, it'll be a violation of Lo Techbeh. But here, where you're intentionally taking out 4, with the intent of pouring it into 3, knowing that 1 kav is going to spill over, that kav, you have no intention of taking that kav and putting it back on the Mizbeach. That's part of the mitzvah. Take 4, dump it into 3, and have 1 spill over. Because of that, it does not have the shame, Eish Mizbeach, because it's already intak. It's already been separated out to be doing the mitzvah. Whereas the Eish that is going to be used for the purpose of lighting the menorah or for the ketoret, over there, it still has a shame of Eish HaMizbeach, because that's what you need in order to light those items. That should be 3 different levels with regards to coals. There's a coal that you take off for no reason, which you're obligated to put back on. There will be an Easter of Lo Techbeh. There are coals that you take off to do the process of lighting the menorah or putting on the ketoret. Those will also have a problem with Lo Techbeh because there you need Eish Mizbeach. You need the Eish HaMizbeach Ritzon to do those. There will be a third status, which are these coals that were taken off for the purpose of using them for the menorah and the Mizbeach. But we know intentionally when you take them off that a kav of them is going to fall over. That kav, you have no intention of returning, and they're no longer usable as Eish for the menorah or the Mizbeach as ever the ketoret. And therefore, they have this status of not having Eish Mizbeach on them anymore, and there'll be no violation of Lo Techbeh, even according to Abaye. And Rabbeinu Tam also gives another answer, which is that Kli Sharet are only Mekadesh Midat. Kli Sharet are only Mekadesh items when you intend for them to become Kadosh. So here, where you took off the 4 kav with intention to place them into the pan of three kav, the only parts that are nitkadesh are the three kav. That extra kav is never nitkadesh. And because of that, that kav is not a problem of Eish Mizbeach, because you never intended to be mikadesh or give it that shame kedusha. And since they're never kadosh, you can sweep them into the amat amayim because they don't have a status of Eish Mizbeach. And therefore, there's no lo tichbeh. Ikadamre, some explain the machloket Abaye and Rava in this way. If you take it down onto the ground and extinguish it, everybody agrees that you're patur there, because it's clearly not Eish HaMizbeach anymore. It's not on the Mizbeach. The machloket is when you extinguish it on the top of the Mizbeach. Again, it's not on the Mizbeach anymore. You've put it into the pan, and now you're still on the top of the Mizbeach. So in that case, Bayamar Chayav, Eish HaMizbeach, still called Eish HaMizbeach, till you get it off the Mizbeach. Rav Amar Patur. Nitka. You're right. It's still on the top of the Mizbeach, but now you take it into a pan. You've separated it from the Eish HaMizbeach, and no longer has a shame Eish HaMizbeach. If that's the case, it's not governed by Lo Tichbeh. What about the statement of Rav Nachman, who says that if you take a coal off the Mizbeach down below and then extinguish it, you're Chayav? Come on. Who's that like? Lo Kevai v'lo Kerova. Now it won't be like either of them. Both of them say once you take it off the Mizbeach and extinguish it down below, that's not classified as Eish HaMizbeach. They both said Patur in that case. So now he would be arguing on those positions of Abaye and Rava. Mar says, no, it can be like both of them. Abaye and Rava will agree to Rav Nachman. Over there, you took off the coal for no reason. You take it off for no reason, it still belongs to the Mizbeach, and it's considered Eish HaMizbeach and governed by Lo Tichbeh. Then, when you take it off for a mitzvah, there, Abaye and Rava say, that's it, no longer called Eish HaMizbeach. If you extinguish it down below, everybody agrees you're patur. On the Mizbeach, that's where they have their machloket. How far away from the Mizbeach do you have to be to consider intikata? By changing its status because you're going to use it for something else, is that enough? That's what Rava says, and therefore you're patur. Abaye says it's not enough just to change its name, put it in the pan. You have to get it off the Mizbeach to no longer be called Eish HaMizbeach, and you'll be chayav for lo tichbeh until you get it off the Mizbeach. So the answer to your question, Fred, about once he's lit the menorah, what does he do with the fire that he has? Is he going to have to extinguish it? Well, either could let it burn out by itself. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility, even if he extinguished it, it may not be a problem because intkata the mitzvah. There it's been pulled off to do the mitzvah. Once you've done the mitzvah with it, it's changed. It's no longer Eish HaMizbeach. It's no longer Eish HaMizbeach, then you're not chayav for that. All right, we'll stop over here. Hajon alach, taraf bekalpi.